Decision Time on The Debt Ceiling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. President Obama will not be negotiating with members of Congress about raising the debt limit today, at least not publicly. But that doesn't mean the pressure has let up. The president reportedly told lawmakers it's decision time. He'll take his message to reporters later this morning in a news conference. Marketplace's David Gura joins us now live from Washington with more on this story. Good morning.
Morning, Jeremy.
Well, David, the president says it's decision time, but I assume we're not talking about what you might call Plan A, the stuff we were talking about at the beginning of the week.
No, that's what President Obama really wanted, what's been called the Holy Grail or a grand bargain. That would have saved up to $4 trillion over the next 10 years through both spending cuts and new tax revenues, mostly tax increases for corporations and wealthier Americans. That suffered a big setback last weekend when members of the GOP said they'd oppose any plan that would include tax hikes. Yesterday, President Obama reportedly told lawmakers that the clock is ticking down to August 2nd. They've had meetings all week, Jeremy, and it's time for them to tell him what kind of plan could work.
And what kind of plan could work, David? I mean, what is Plan B, Plan C? What are the other options?
You know, there are a few of them floating around here, but the one that's gained the most traction comes from the Senate Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell. Basically, the president could raise the debt ceiling by about $2.5 trillion, but the onus would be on him, not on Congress. He'd get all the blame or the credit, depending on how you see it. The president would be able to raise the limit in three stages if he suggests new spending cuts every time. And McConnell's plan also calls for a bipartisan debt reduction commission. Democrats rejected McConnell's plan early on, but now that two credit rating agencies have said they're considering downgrading the U.S.'s credit rating, many of them may have to consider it.
Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, now to orange juice prices, which are the highest they've been in 2 years. Of course, consumers are used to paying a premium for trendy drinks like pomegranate juice and coconut water. But orange juice? Sally Herships explains.
We are running low on juice. Orange juice, that is.
Inventories in the two largest orange juice producing nations, Brazil and the United States, are at record lows.
Citrus economist Bob Norberg says a nasty disease has hit Florida and Brazil, affecting a tenth of the orange crop. Then there's Florida's weather extremes, from freezes to hurricanes. Judy Gaines Chase is a tropical commodities consultant.
Grove owners have been so battered. Their costs have gone up tremendously.
Gaines Chase says during the housing bubble, a lot of Florida citrus farmers became developers. They converted their groves into condos, which means even fewer oranges.
The market continues to go up and up and up, but consumers are balking at the high prices.
Perhaps Americans who are drinking less orange juice. But Florida Department of Citrus economist Bob Norberg says demand for America's iconic morning drink is growing around the world. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Well, orange juice prices may be heading higher, but stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning. London up just a fraction of a percent right now. More fallout from the hacking scandal at Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation. Today, Rebecca Brooks, the CEO of the company's British subsidiary News International, resigned. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 54 points to close at 12,437.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at IBM.com/engines. And by Putnam Investments, recognizing the value of financial advice since 1937. Putnam Investments, a world of investing.
The final Harry Potter movie comes out in theaters today. So far, the films have grossed $6.4 billion worldwide, and the Potter brand as a whole is estimated to be worth $15 billion. But with no new books or movies planned, how long can the boy wizard keep conjuring up profits? Sandon Totten reports.
Believe it or not, Harry Potter is over the hill. Or at least the brand is, according to marketing professional Susan Ganelius. She wrote the book Harry Potter, the story of a global business phenomenon. She says every brand hits a peak and then declines in value.
So the challenge for the Harry Potter brand right now would be finding ways to slow that decline cycle.
Cornelius says J.K. Rowling and the Potter marketing team are off to a good start. Last month, they unveiled a website called Pottermore, a place where fans can test out digital spells, get sorted into Hogwarts houses, and buy ebook versions of the Potter saga.
This is a brand that can't decline significantly anytime in the near future. There's too much invested in it from the corporate perspective.
Cornelius guesses that even with no new content, Harry Potter has at least 10 years of solid profits left. After all, Warner Brothers has DVDs and movie merchandise to sell. Universal Studios spent over $200 million on its Wizarding World of Harry Potter theme park. And of course, there's the mom-and-pop wand shops.
We sell probably about 50 to 100 wands per week.
That's Stan Golden, owner of a Potter-themed gift shop in L.A. called Whimsic Alley. Golden says he opened the store when Potter fever was sweeping the nation, but he thought about closing it last year.
The last book had already come out. There were a couple more movies set to come out, but I didn't know what would happen after that, whether there would be any longevity in this franchise.
But instead of closing, Golden expanded into a bigger building, and he says sales keep climbing. But even Golden wonders how long it'll be before a chapter titled Harry Potter and the Point of Diminishing Returns. Of course, if you ask 16-year-old Madison Mojica, who was checking out the wands at Whimsic Alley, Potter vendors have nothing to worry about.
We're the Harry Potter generation. It's never going to die for us.
If fans like her turn out to be right, the spell could last for decades. I'm Sandon Totten for Marketplace.
And finally, to an art heist in suburban Cleveland. It didn't happen at a museum, though. It happened at a Taco Bell. A group of young adults, including a former Taco Bell employee, were caught stealing a piece of nacho art from the dining room wall. Not sure if they were planning to sell it, which may have been difficult anyway because of the unmistakable smell of chalupas and gorditas. The art has been valued at $157. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Know your customers. It's basic. So for American firms going to China, here's a tutorial.
You know, a lot of these are migrants. They'll move from these cities, striking it big. They've got their college education, and it's kind of empowering. And so we're trying to capture that in terms of how we are positioning Chevrolet.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What you need to know about the biggest market on the planet. It's our series, The 5-Year Plan, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.